It's Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch with you here in studio, and it's time now for us to sit down and have a conversation with the voice of the Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn. And it's brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. And when we are done talking with Tim, we're giving away a Cavaliers Mystery Prize as well. Tim, happy New Year, my friend. Great to have you back here in the great Buckeye State after a three-game road swing. That was an interesting swing for the Cavaliers. We'll break that down here in just a few moments. But how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Bull, to you and yours, Happy New Year. And, of course, to everyone in my WEOL family, Happy New Year to everybody at the station. And great to be back. And, as you said, great to be back home after that strange three-game trip. Started on the East Coast, then went to Minnesota, then up to Toronto. So, yeah, it's good to be back home, starting off a four-game home stand or home swing tonight with Charlotte coming into town.
Well, it was a brisk three-game roadie from what it sounds like. You guys weren't exactly in the warmest of climates on that three-game trip, but let's begin by bringing back Tim Alcorn for three with your three major takeaways from that three-game roadie.
Well, I think takeaway number one is when the Cavaliers are playing against the level of competition that they are at, where they're taking on a team that's also, you know, in a process where you're rebuilding and you're retooling, they play very well. They compete very well as far as the win-loss record is concerned. They've been able to knock those teams off, and I think that's part one or step one of this process. You want to be able to beat the teams you're supposed to beat or should be able to beat. And I think the Cavaliers are showing they can do that. We'll see if they can keep that going tonight with Charlotte down at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. I think take number two is there's going to be an adjustment period for the bench with the trading of Jordan Clarkson. Clarkson now, of course, out in Utah. Dante Exum comes here. And so you don't really have that instant scoring threat off the bench now. With Jordan Clarkson being a member of the Jazz. I think they're hoping that, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. now with extended minutes off the bench can play that role as far as the instant offense. But again, he's only 19 years old. He's learning the NBA game, where Jordan Clarkson was a little more of a veteran presence off of that bench. And I think the third, you know, look that I would have, the third point that I would make is the fact that this team is still improving. They are getting better, and it will happen as the year goes along. I think the only concern there might be there would be the rookies. I mentioned Kevin Porter and, of course, Darius Garland hitting what they call the rookie wall. And these are guys that didn't play much college basketball at all, so it might be even more pronounced. I don't think they've hit it yet. We haven't seen that, but that could be a concern. But, boy, you look at where Darius Garland and Kevin Porter Jr. started from this year to where they are now, right after the turn of the calendar, I think you can definitely see their improvement.
Well, and there are a lot of positives to point out here as well with this team. I think going in, the expectations being what they were, they're on pace to win more games than they did a season ago. And the Cavaliers have won four out of their last six, as you mentioned to me before we started, you know, started going with the interview here. And I think there are a lot of positive takeaways with this group, because it is a process for sure. And the process is going to have some lumps along the way. I think we saw that on New Year's Eve just a couple games ago. But, you know, I think when you look at a matchup on paper, like the one on Saturday against the Timberwolves, people will instantly point to that and say, well, no Wiggins, no Karl Anthony Towns, and how much do you make of that? Well, the Cavs didn't have Kevin Love in that game, so I think that leveled things out at least a little bit. But I think in games like that, Tim, you get a pretty good glimpse as to just how promising the core group is with the Cavaliers, because they won a game that they were supposed to win. And look, last year, we didn't say that very often because they only won 19 games.
Absolutely. You make a great point, Bull. As I mentioned to start, the first part of the process is winning games that you at least on paper should win or have the ability to win. And that Minnesota game was one of those. Of course, as you said, the T-Wolves didn't have their top two scorers with Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns. But As you pointed out, the Cavs didn't have Love, and they were on a second night of a back-to-back. And, you know, I'll tell you, that plane ride from Boston to Minnesota, that's not just a little half-hour skip. I mean, so you've got a long plane ride into Minnesota, you're going back-to-back, and yet the Cavs find a way to grind that one out. It certainly wasn't pretty. I don't think the video of that one's going to be sent to Springfield, Massachusetts at any point in the near future. 29 turnovers and somehow you emerge with a win. But you know what? At the end of the year, they don't ask which ones were pretty and which ones were works of art. They just say, how many did you win and how many did you lose? And as you point out, you know, the Cavaliers are ahead of schedule. It was on the three-game road trip somewhere where I mentioned the Cavs last year. Last season did not get their 10th win until late January. It was like January 28th or 29th. So, you know, they've reached that point already, and certainly you would think a few more to several more are coming this month. So ahead of last year, and again, you know, when I mentioned earlier about the fact that the two rookies, especially Garland and, of course, Kevin Porter Jr., you can see their game improving and getting better game by game, week by week. So, yes, the pieces are in place. There's still more pieces that need to be added. I mean, we're all fully aware of that. But I think the Cavs are definitely, without question, they're on the right track.
You had talked about the trade a little bit earlier, Jordan Clarkson going to the Jazz sending Dante Exum to the Cavaliers. What are some of your general impressions of Dante Exum now that you've had the opportunity to see him for more than just a game? You've had an opportunity to see him for three or four now. Well, what are some of your general observations of Exum and what he brings to the table?
Well, we've seen him for three. I tell you what, his first two games, I mean, considering the fact he was not getting a lot of playing time out in Utah, and he's going to, of course, have to get acclimated to the system here in Cleveland and just the verbiage as far as, you know, what John Beilein calls a certain play or calls a certain defense. So, you know, there's that process of getting to know your new team. And yet he comes in Boston, I think he scored 9 up in Minnesota. I want to say he scored 8. So, again, he provided a little bit of punch off that bench, played 15, 16 minutes. He's going to be a big asset on the defensive end of the floor, Bull. He's a young man that he's got some length to him. And, of course, you know, the Cavs certainly can use help defensively. So Exum will be a nice factor off that bench. When you bring Exum along with John Henson off the bench, now you've got some length. You've got some length in the backcourt with Exum. And then if guys get by the backcourt, they run into Henson at the rim, who certainly can block some shots. So all of a sudden, coming off that bench, the Cavs have some defensive help with Exum now on the team and the return of Henson. So that's definitely a plus. And you mentioned, you know, it was Clarkson for Exum. Don't forget those 2 second-round draft choices. They're down the road, but Kobe Altman loves to have chips to play, you know, acquiring assets. As the NBA uses in their language. But however you phrase it, he now has a couple of second-round picks. So if there's something down the road where he's trying to make a deal or trying to, you know, put something together in a package, he at least has a couple of chips to play as far as trade possibilities are concerned.
Again, we're speaking with Tim Alcorn, the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Tim's appearance is brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenience in Oco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Tim, it's interesting because you look at the way this team has developed over the last, I would say, month and a half. And there are some guys contributing this year that didn't last year. You hit the nail on the head, I think, with John Henson because he was kind of the unknown in that deal with the Bucks a year ago. Cavaliers never saw him on the floor. But now we're really beginning to see the effect of a guy like that that can provide some really good minutes off the bench. I mean, he can spell Love. He can spell Thompson to some degree. If Larry Nance Jr. is starting, he could spell him as well. And it's not just spelling him, you know, giving those guys a few minutes to breathe. Tim, you can make the argument that John Henson's the best defensive player the Cavaliers have right now. And the fact that they're able to get quality minutes from him off the bench, I think that shows you that this team is at least a little bit deeper than I think a lot of us thought they might be at this point.
Yeah, I'm sure if you look at Henson's number, you know, the popular term is the plus-minus. I'm sure he's in that plus category because when he comes in, He's a real stabilizer on the defensive end of the floor. Again, that rim protection, he always seems to get at least a couple of blocks per game. He comes in and he plays a solid defense as far as rebounding is concerned. So he's been a very nice addition. And as you said, was acquired last year, suffered the hand injury and just wasn't able to get on the floor. He was anxious to get going this year, had a good camp, and then has that hamstring injury. He came back, I think, for one game and then pulled the hamstring. So once he has gotten back out onto the floor, he has been terrific. He's a really nice presence off that bench, and he's added a lot. There's no doubt. You don't often see it in the points category, but there's a lot more statistics aside from just points, and that's where John Henson is a big benefit to this team.
One of the cool things you get the opportunity to do is you get the chance to consistently see the Cavaliers practice. You were at shoot-around this morning as the Cavs get ready, as you mentioned a few moments ago, to get things going on a four-game homestand before they take a brutal trip out west. But, well, for the Cavaliers this morning at shoot-around, trying to right the ship after a tough end of the roadie on Tuesday night against the Raptors, anything stand out to you at shoot-around? Anything you noticed that was maybe a little out of the ordinary that was worth mentioning?
Well, I noticed the shoot-around was scheduled to start at 10, and it was about 10 after 10 before the guys even came out onto the floor from the video session. So I think they were watching a video of the Toronto game, as you alluded to, on New Year's Eve, where things got a little bit sloppy and just some bad turnovers in that ball game. So I think they were trying to correct those errors. And then I would think they look back at that Charlotte video as well from when Charlotte was here just a couple of weeks ago when we had the three-game homestand and won all three of those games. And, boy, Terry Rozier, he led Charlotte on a big-time comeback and almost pulled that game out with a three-ball that he was wide open on at the end of the game that just rattled in and out on him. So I'm sure they looked at Toronto on video, and then I'm sure they looked at Charlotte on video and said, we've got to figure out a way to stop Rozier from going off like he did in that last ball game. I know during the shoot around itself, they worked on a few things defensively. So, but no, the Cavs were in good spirits, and I think everybody's healthy and ready to go. And they're looking forward to getting back at home and getting four games in a row in front of the home folks at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned that Hornets game because you're right. It seemed like Rozier couldn't hit a shot to save his life, but then all of a sudden, within the last 5 minutes of that game, he couldn't miss. I mean,
he couldn't miss.
I mean, he was making shots from everywhere on the floor, and where the Hornets almost made, I believe it was a 24-point deficit, disappear, but the Cavaliers hung on. Hopefully they can do that tonight. Before we ask you about that game later on this evening, of course, the NBA in mourning with the passing of former Commissioner David Stern. And, you know, I think people around here forget about just how important he was to the process for the Cavs back in the early to mid-'80s when, you know, the Cavaliers were in some pretty dark times under the ownership of Ted Stepien. And Commissioner Stern in the mid-'80s played a pretty big part in the Cavaliers offering some sort of sustainability with the Gunn family coming into the fray. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where you look at a commissioner and you could pick out a number of things that are done wrong or that you don't agree with, but I don't think anybody could understate just how important Commissioner David Stern was to the NBA and what a big, big loss this is to the basketball community.
Oh, it's a huge loss, an absolutely huge loss, Bull. Even though he had stepped down as NBA commissioner, he carried the title Commissioner Emeritus. He will go down as one of the great commissioners in any of the major sports. And as you said, he was so involved in the growth of the NBA. And the amazing thing about the NBA growth is that it's not just here, you know, in the United States. He has turned turn the NBA into a global brand. The NBA of all the major sports is certainly the biggest internationally. And that was through the vision of David Stern. I mean, the NBA game is huge in Europe. It's huge in Asia, has an incredible following in China. And it was David Stern that really opened up those international markets to the NBA. And so his vision and certainly the growth that the league sustained under his stewardship won't be matched. There's only one David Stern. He did an unbelievable job. And your point's valid. I mean, certainly not everybody agreed with everything he did. But in the big picture, the NBA is a far, far better league because of David Stern.
No question about that. Well, all right, my friend, I mentioned we'd come back around to tonight's matchup against the Charlotte Hornets. What are some matchups that you're looking forward to in particular, and what can we expect between the Cavs and Hornets later tonight?
Well, again, we talked about Rozier. Boy, the Shaker Heights product. I remember when he was playing high school ball at Shaker Heights, and certainly he's turned into a terrific pro. So they've got to figure out a way to contain Rozier. Obviously, Devontae Graham is another young man that's having an outstanding season for Charlotte. But, boy, this is one of those, again, there's no automatic win, but as you and I were talking earlier in the interview, Bull, about the fact that for a young team going through the process that the Cavs are going through right now, you want to win games, especially at home, that you should, at least on paper, be winning. Charlotte is in the throes of a six-game losing streak, I want to say. They're struggling. It's another road game for them. So all in all, you would think the Cavaliers have a good shot tonight to start off this four-game homestand with a victory. But containing that Charlotte backcourt of Rozier and Devontae Graham would certainly be at the top of the list.
Absolutely. Well, looking forward to the call tonight, my friend. Should be a lot of fun. Hopefully the Cavaliers could get back on the right track. But as always, we appreciate the time. Happy New Year to you and yours, and we'll do this again next week.
Absolutely, and I understand you're down at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse next Wednesday for a countdown show, so looking forward to sitting in with you and the Z-Man next Wednesday.
That'll be a lot of fun. That'll be the first one of the new year, and we can't wait for it. Tim, thank you as always, my friend.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, Tim. Again, that's Tim Alcorn, the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's open the phone lines. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience in Oco. We're giving away a Cavaliers Mystery Prize. Call 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. If you're the first to call, you will win a Mystery Cavs Prize from North Ridgeville Convenience in Oco. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.